Now we'll have our second scripture lesson.
This is from this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Then came unto him certain of the Sadducees, which denied that there was any resurrection, as they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man and his brothers die, having a wife, and he die without children, and then his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Is this right? There was therefore seven brothers. First took a wife, and he died without children, and the second took.
Is this right?
Yeah. Okay. And died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. Yes. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And the and Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world, the marry, and are given in marriage. It's but they which shall be accounted it worthy to obtain the world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush where when he calleth the Lord, or the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he is not a God of the dead, but if the living, for all live unto him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. All right. Get my little screen up over here. Give it a second. There we go. All right. So, being a dad myself, I absolutely love a good dad joke. But one of the things that really burns my biscuits is when a non-dad tells a dad joke. It's such a faux pas. Okay. Now you get it. Faux pas, non-dad telling a dad joke. All right, so go ahead and buckle up because you can get a few more. Did you hear about the very unsuccessful farmer? He decided he was going to take a stab at a music career. He thought he'd do okay because he had one ton of sick beats. Oh, yeah. What do you call a Frenchman wearing flip-flops? Felipe Flop. That reminds me. Did you guys hear about in the news the cheese factory in France that exploded? Debris was everywhere. If a pig loses its voice, does it become disgruntled? All right, so there was a ship carrying red paint and one carrying blue paint, and they collided in the middle of the ocean, and both crews were marooned. Okay. I have another hobby besides dad jokes. I really like to collect all the original Beatles albums. I need help. Okay, so I told you all of these just to get to this very last one. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they are so sad, you see. Okay, so we got past that. So we have our poor little Sadducee. Hey, thanks for hearing me for those dad jokes. Like I said, Wilson's been sick all week. I've had little sleep, so good luck with this sermon. We'll see what happens. But the Sadducees. The Sadducees are this group of priests in the Old Testament times. They are the ones who mainly deal in the worship in the temple. The Sadducees are caught up in their whole life revolves around the temple worship. They are what you might call the upper class of all of the religious orders in the time of Jesus. So they are the ones that would make the sacrifices in the temple. They would be the ones to make sure everything is ritualistically clean and pure. And the Sadducees only believe in the first five books of the Bible, the five books of Moses. Their whole life revolves around those. They don't listen to any of the other oral tradition and other stories that have been passed along. They focus solely on those books. So that's why they reject this idea of the resurrection. Because to them, everything revolves around the temple worship, the bringing of the animals, making the sacrifices, doing all those things according to the letter of the law. They focus all of their life in the here and the now. So they're not ones who go out and sweat in the fields and chase the sheep. They don't make pottery, repair wagon wheels. They offer these sacrifices, and then they are fed by the offerings of the people. And we know everyone's told to bring their first and absolute best to the temple, and a part of that goes to the sacrifice. The other part goes to taking care of the priests. So they have a pretty good life in this time, right? Sitting in the temple doing their religious work, having people bring their food to them, not out in the fields worrying over whether it's a good crop or a bad crop. But they did have this sense of eternity. Their sense of eternity was they believed they had a legacy that was passed on through their children, as their children would be the next generation to do the work in the temple. So these Sadducees were kind of snobby. It might be the best way to think about them and their role within all the classes of all those working in the temple. They were the ones who thought they had it better than everyone else because they were the ones that worked in the temple. You know, sometimes we have people like that in our world today. They focus a lot of attention on their legacy here on earth, the accumulation of wealth here. Not that we all wouldn't enjoy winning that, $1.5 billion?
$1.9
now, yes. None of us would, be upset with that, but there are people who live like modern-day Sadducees that focus everything in the here and now, and maybe keep a closed idea of Scripture, just those five books. Well, the Sadducees, they decide they want to ridicule Jesus. They had started some of this early in chapter 20. And in chapter 20, verse 20, it says, "The legal experts and chief priests were watching Jesus closely and sent spies who pretended to be sincere. They wanted to trap him in his words." So they are kind of out to get him. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, we have this question. So a woman marries a man and they don't have any children. He passes away. According to the law, she then marries his brother. They get married, he dies, no kids, so forth and so on. All seven brothers she is married, and they all have died. I can't imagine me, brother number seven, standing there getting ready to get married and questioning what is about to happen. But so we have that whole thing. And then she said, then the Sadducees say, "Who will she be married to in heaven? If she's married all these brothers, whose wife will she be there?" Again, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, and so they're trying to, push Jesus on something. They're trying to embarrass him and ridicule him. But Jesus kind of turns it back on them. Jesus says, "Well, people who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to participate in that age, that is, in the age of the resurrection from the dead, won't marry, be given in marriage. They will no longer die because they are like angels and God's children since they share in the resurrection." So Jesus saying, no, in the resurrection, it's not going to matter. But he goes a step further to turn it back on the Sadducees, using their own precious Torah against them, saying, hey, you know what? When Moses met God at that burning bush and they were talking, God said from that burning bush, I am the God of your ancestors, of Abraham, of Jacob, and of Isaac. Well, God is the God of things that are alive. God says, I am the God of the living, not the dead. So if God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, then they must be alive. God has to be alive of those who are living. So that must mean that your ancestors are alive in God. God is the God of the living. We are all alive in God. To him, they are all alive. Well, the legal experts realized, well, we can't deal with this. So they responded, teacher, you have answered well. They are all alive in God. Declaring the hope of the resurrection. Now, in my newsletter article that was written for this month, I talked about Dia de los Muertos that happened earlier this week. It's a holiday that I absolutely love, this tradition of going and celebrating those who have passed away. To go and say, you know what, my grandfather, he drank nothing but coffee his entire life. I think I saw him drink water once, maybe three times he had a Pepsi, but he always had his cup of coffee. So to have a holiday where you go and you go to the grave of your grandfather and drink a cup of coffee and remember him, isn't that a wonderful thing to remember those who have gone on? In the Hispanic culture, this celebration of those who are alive with Christ, a time to remember, celebrate their lives, the lives they lived here, and the lives that are being lived, and the life that is to come. I love this idea of remembering those who have meant so much to us, and remembering the things that they have taught us. As Lacey was talking in the children's message about learning and growing in our faith, we are all here because someone else has taught and raised us. And we all have an opportunity to help teach and raise this gaggle of kids that we had up here this morning. How things get passed on and on, this tradition that is carried on. And that is something worth celebrating. To remember the lives of those saints who have lived before us, the lessons that they have taught us. And when I think of Dia de los Muertos, I think of the movie Coco. And like I said in the newsletter, no shame, I shed a tear at the end of that when Mama Coco starts to sing Remember Me, remembers her father. It's about remembering. And this scripture gives us hope as we think about celebrating All Saints Day that was earlier this week. Celebrating the loved ones who have passed on. But we remember all that they have given us. Remember the lessons. And we celebrate that they are living with God. But at the same time, I recognize the grief that can bring up. The grief of the loss of a loved one, no matter how long ago it has been. That's why I love this model of grief. So we think about our grief, so we think of ourselves and our life as a jar, and grief is this ball that's dropped into that jar. So this top image, this is what we tend to believe about grief over time. We have something that happens, we grieve it, we process it, and the grief shrinks. Well, I think it's just the opposite. In this bottom picture, the grief stays the same size, but we grow around our grief. Now, that's not to say that as we grow around our grief, that little ball of grief in there sometimes will get jostled around and hit the side of the jar, and we'll feel it just as strong as when we first had that grief. Grief is a real thing that we carry, that we remember. But I truly believe we're like this bottom image, that we grow around our grief. It never lessens, but we grow around it and fill our lives with other things as well. So we have a time that we're going to have a prayer time to remember those who have gone before us, to remember the lives they lived, and to celebrate that they are alive forevermore. Because as Jesus proved the resurrection to the Sadducees, Jesus has proved the resurrection to us. As Jesus rose from the dead, as Jesus came back to his disciples and showed them the holes in his hands and his side, as Jesus cooked fish with them on the beach and ascended into heaven, when we come and we share this holy meal, we remember the life that Jesus lived, and we remember that Jesus rose from the dead. And that fills us with hope, fills us with joy that we can celebrate, that even though we have felt grief in our lives, we can grow around that, to celebrate that God is the God of the living, and all are alive in the eyes of God. Someone open up a time of prayer, and just, I'll invite you during that prayer to time to just name those in your hearts or even out loud. Speak the names of those who you'd like to remember and celebrate today for all that they have taught you and given to you. So let us go to God in prayer. Holy and loving God, you are the God of the living. Lord, you have sent before us a great cloud of witnesses, those who have instructed us in the faith. Some are still here among us. Others have gone on into your glory. Lord, there are loved ones of ours who we have shared this life with. We have passed on into eternal life with you. Lord, there are those for whom our grief may still sting. But Lord, right now we take time to remember. To remember their lives. Remember who they were to us. And to know who they are to you, as all are alive in your presence. So Lord, hear now the names of those who we wish to remember. Granddaddy. Bobby. Russ. Jack. Holy Lord, we remember those who we have shared our lives with, who have gone before. And Lord, we remember those who are here among us. And Lord, we just thank you that we are all alive in your kingdom, that your love surrounds each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that as we prepare to come to this holy meal and to share in Holy Communion, that you will prepare our hearts to receive the fullness of your love. Lord, we are truly sorry for those mistakes we make, for those ways that we have not responded in this world the way you would have us to respond. Lord, forgive us of all those things that we have done against your will. Forgive us and strengthen us that we may continue to walk the path that lays before us. A path that so many saints before us have trod. Lord, we thank you that you call to each and every one of us, and we celebrate and remember all that you have done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.